You're listening to eDirus.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شيء الله. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, in the last session of Darsi Hadith, we covered the incident of an ant speaking to its community as mentioned in Surah An-Naml, and Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, bifazlillah, understanding in its entirety the language of the ants and their communication, and immediately turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the favors and blessings that have been bestowed upon him. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam is an extraordinary individual amongst the galaxy of the prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, of course, is the son of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu was salam. Father also a king, son also a king. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam wanted three things in his life, for which he also made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first dua was that Allah was to grant him a kingdom that is given to no one else but exclusively only to him, a dominion that only belongs to him. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted this dua. The kingdom that was given to him has not been given to anyone else, being a Nabi and also a king. And the second dua was also that in his kingdom everything should be governed by the laws of Allah. So he wanted the laws of Sharia. That was also accepted. And the third dua is in connection to Masjid Al-Aqsa. And he made dua for the people of Iman until the day of Qiyamah. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all the people of Iman, those who believe in Allah and the prophets, who come to Masjid Al-Aqsa with a sincere intention to perform salah, and if they come to the masjid with the right intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to forgive all their sins, all their past sins. Just like how a newborn baby, a child that comes into this dunya. So this was the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that anyone who reads minimum even two rakats, he prayed to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to delete all of his past sins. All of his sins. And inshaAllah ta'ala, we pray and hope that this is also the case for this ummah and all those who go to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, in his garden it is said that every day there were different plants and trees that would grow. Every day different plants and trees would grow. What a Nabi. That was the kingdom that was given to him every day. And Hazrat every day would go in the garden and he would actually speak with the plants and the trees. It was his habit to ask the trees and the plants their names and what are the benefits that Allah has kept in them. What are the benefits that Allah has kept in them? That is why also in Islam, this science of studying plants is a very important science in Islam. Very important. A lot of the botanists were Muslims, great people, and where you get also the Hakims, the herbal doctors. And this only comes from the study of plants. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam would meet and question everybody. In fact, this ilm was actually given to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Every kind of knowledge was given to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gifted him with everything, as in he knew actually what to eat, the benefits of every fruit, every plant, everything that was there. This was actually made ilqa, inspired in the heart of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, this knowledge was transferred to his children. That is why today we know what to eat, what is halal and what is haram. This is the barakat of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. The scholars have always mentioned that if it was not for the teachings of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, today a man would be doing zina with his mother and humans would become cannibals. Humans would become cannibals. But it is the pristine teachings of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. All the time from Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. That taught humanity what is halal, what is haram, what are the benefits of this, what are the harms of this. Everything was explained by Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam would communicate with them. It is said that once when he entered the garden, he saw this huge tree in front of him. And so he made salam and said, "What's your name?" And the tree said, "I am the carob tree. I am the carob tree." And Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said to the tree, "How do you benefit insan?" And so the carob tree said, "Hazrat, the truth is that they will use me for the destruction of the temple. They will use me for the destruction of the temple." This was during the very last phase of the life of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat knew immediately. But this tree made a request and said, "Hazrat, why don't you make from me an asa, a staff for yourself, so that I can serve you, you can lean on me, that you can use me and lean on me, an asa, the staff that we have here." Now, just recently, there was an article in the newspaper that plants also speak and communicate with one another. Plants also communicate, they speak. So it's not far-fetched for us, especially in the modern world that we live in today, to understand all this. Alhamdulillah, Allah has made it very easy. In fact, you also have male plants and female plants. You also have male plants and female plants. You have the male reproductive organ in the plant and you also have the female reproductive organ in the plant. And that plants actually communicate with one another. This is in the modern world today. And so for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam to talk freely, alhamdulillah, he is a Nabi of Allah. He is a Nabi of Allah. Brothers, remember that once Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met this Bedouin. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times would give dawah to people. So the Bedouin came and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The Bedouin were very strong in their nature, strong-minded people. And so he said that, who else is here that believes in the kalima that you tell me to become a Muslim? And so in the desert, there was nobody there. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Bedouin, you see the tree that is in front of you there? That tree is also a Muslim. That tree is also a Muslim. That tree also believes in Tawheed and the Risalat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, how is that possible? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Bedouin, go and ask the tree, say to the tree that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling you. And so history testifies, there is sanad, a chain of narration, that the tree actually came breaking its roots, running to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the tree, tell this Bedouin who I am. And the tree testified three times that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin. Allahu Akbar. And so these are things that are mentioned. But khair, just for the satisfaction of some people perhaps, even in the modern times, we know that you have male plants, female plants, there is languages, they actually communicate and talk with one another. Allahu Akbar. In the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that Allah's Nabi has said, the day of Qiyamah will not come, the day of Qiyamah will not come until the people of Iman fight with the Ahle Yahud, fight with the Ahle Yahud, the Jews. That the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment will not come until the believers, the people of Iman, will fight against the Yahud. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned also, victory will be given to the Muslims. And the Ahle Yahud will be defeated. This is mentioned in the hadith. And such will be the defeat and humiliation in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if one from the Ahle Yahud is hiding behind a tree or hiding in a mountain, the stones will testify and the trees will speak out that, oh, mu'min, come here, and behind me is someone who is hiding. So the mountains, the stones will testify. And so the technology that we have, it all comes out from the earth. This plastic is made of what? Petroleum, copper, iron, the wiring, everything. Where does it come out? The first thing, it comes out from the earth. Everything comes out from the earth. That we have this technology, where did we get this technology? First, it comes out from the earth. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And so the stones will speak out, the rocks will speak out, and the trees will speak out. But in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi has said that one tree will not speak out. And that is the tree of Gharqad. The tree of Gharqad. The name of this tree is mentioned, Gharqad. And this tree is the tree of the Ahle Yahud. Wallahu A'lam, and Allah knows best, but it is said that even today, in the year 2013, Allah knows best, that this tree has been planted throughout that region where the Ahle Yahud are today. But the trees have been planted everywhere. Gharka tree. Today where they are. But Allah knows best. Wallahu a'lam. You can do your own research in that. But there is no doubt in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah's Nabi has mentioned that everything will declare and testify and will give information to the people of Iman except for the gharqa tree. And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was also informed. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Saab, brothers know him?
Know him.
MashaAllah, Allah give him a long life.
Ameen.
He is the son of Mufti Shafi. Mufti Shafi Saab was Mufti Azam of Pakistan. Mufti Azam of Pakistan. And these were, Mufti Shafi Saab were the great scholars graduated from Darul Uloom Deoband. Where were they graduated from? Darul Uloom Deoband. SubhanAllah. And let me tell you the difference. That Darul Uloom Deoband, the history of it is such that as compared to the other Islamic universities, for an example, the oldest Islamic university is Azhar University, which is how many centuries? 8, 9 centuries, aise kuch, I'm not sure. But it's a very old Darul Uloom, very old university. Anybody here knows? 8, 9 centuries? It is 1,000 years. And the students are as many as 60,000. How many? 60,000 students, Azhari students from Egypt. Compare Azhar University. Now, please forgive me, I'm not trying to sort of disrespect anyone from any part of the world. But Alhamdulillah, just to honor a batch of people, that if you look at the service that comes from the scholars of Ulama-i Deoband, Deoband is relatively new if you compare 9 centuries. If you compare 9 centuries, Deoband is very new. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Ali. And in India. But subhanAllah, the difference is, today you go in any part of the world, you will find that the great scholars are either directly or indirectly connected to the scholars of Ulama-i Deoband. Maulana Zulfikar Saab, Madhizillahu Ali, has said, I have been and travelled to 42 countries in the world. How many? 42 countries of the world. And I have seen everywhere, in every location, in every masjid, wherever you go, that there is always someone, a graduate, who is somehow connected to the roots of Ulama-i Deoband. But when you look at the scholars who have qualified from Azhar University, you won't find them everywhere. 60,000 students, 9 centuries plus. But where are the scholars? And I remember Mufti Saeed Palanpuri saying, who is the Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband, one of the great scholars of his time. He used to teach Tirmizi Sharif and he teaches Bukhari Sharif. He said, the difference between our madrasa and our Darul Ulooms and the other madrasas is that the students and the teachers have a mindset that they are learning knowledge not for money or profession or professionalism, but only for the sake of Allah and to do khidmat of the deen. And in Azhar, the mindset is different. It is all about being professional. It is about a profession. Forgive me, like you'll find others who are qualified. Oh, what is my salary going to be? Or what am I going to earn? Or should I work in this city? No, I'm getting £1,000 less here. I'm earning £1,000 more there. I'm qualified. This is the mindset in these universities. But in the madrasa and in the madaris, whenever you find, even today, I'm in the house of Allah, when we employ or when we have people who work in the madrasa who are going to teach children Nazra classes. What? Nazra classes. Until today, I have not come across a single soul that has said to me, oh Maulana Sahab, what will my salary be? What will my salary be? This comes all the way from the top. This is the difference. And that is why you go to America, you go to Brazil, South America, Australia, Russia, China, every part, you will always find a scholar from the subcontinent, from that part, from that batch of people connected because of the ruhaniyat. Because of the ruhaniyat. Great scholars. These were powerful scholars. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so khair, I mentioned this. Maulana Zulfikar Sahib and Mufti Taqi Sahib, that Mufti Taqi Sahib, his father, Mufti Shafi, Mufti Azam of Pakistan, graduated from Deoband. Mufti Taqi Sahib says that I went to South Africa. And South Africa is a beautiful country, am I right? And especially if you go to Cape Town, the very southern tip of South Africa. Beautiful. And Hazrat was traveling to South Africa, Cape Town, by train, and he said that we stationed in this beautiful location, like a hill that was there, at a hilltop, and we were there for a good period of time, so we came out, and Hazrat says that I was looking at the natural scenery that was there, and in front of me there was this plant, beautiful plant, and Hazrat was so mesmerized by the beauty of this plant. Mufti Taqi Sahib says that I wanted to touch this beautiful plant. And so I lifted up my hand and I was about to touch it until I heard someone shouting at me, which was my guide, the guide who was with Mufti Sahib. And Mufti Sahib would usually travel courtesy of the Pakistani embassy wherever, in whichever part he goes. Mufti Sahib is well known, Mufti Taqi Sahib. And so the guide was there. And so the guide said, Hazrat, don't touch it. So Mufti Sahib immediately just stopped. And said, Hazrat, do you know that this looks very beautiful, but it is poisonous? If you had touched the plant, it would have poisoned your hand completely. Subhanallah. Just like how a scorpion, the sting of a scorpion, something that's venomous. So beware, don't touch this plant. So Hazrat said, Subhanallah, Shukr Allah. Subhanallah, Shukr Allah. And of course, this man was an indigenous individual from that locality. He said, Hazrat, now let me take you to another plant, a different plant. So from one location, they moved, walked it to another plant that was there. He said, Hazrat, there is a connection between that plant and this plant. He said, in this plant, Allah has kept the antidote of that poison. That if something, just say you had touched it, in an emergency, what we would have had to do is we would have to run to this plant and we would take the leaves and rub it on your hand. Because it has this ingredients to detoxify the venom that might have entered into your bloodstream. Allahu Akbar. Allah ki kudrat to dekh. Subhanallah. That this plant is poisonous and this is the antidote. So Hazrat has written that subhanAllah, it's like as if that plant which is poisonous is like guna, sins that a person commits. And this is the antidote, it is astaghfar. So if you commit guna, the antidote is astaghfar. So do astaghfar and Allah will wipe out the poison that is there, the guna that is there. Allahu Akbar. And Maulana Zulfikar Sahib had said that I went to the jungles of Malaysia. And he said, there in Malaysia, there are actually trees that are named as man-eating trees. Man-eating trees. Allahu Akbar. Carnivorous. Man-eating trees. Hazrat is saying that the leaves were so huge and gigantic that if you get close to the tree, it's like as if it would just throw some kind of a glue or an adhesive to you, and you'd be attached to it, and slowly you would suffocate. And they suck it, yeah. And you would suffocate. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that, my respected brothers. Trees. Man-eating trees. Hazrat is saying. And he said, then my guide showed me another flower. A huge flower, which had nectar in the middle, so that the birds could come to eat from the nectar. Then once the bird is trapped inside, it would close its petals and the bird would die. This is the karigiri and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah al-Azim, Allahu Akbar Kabir. And so you will find plants and trees in the Quran. The pomegranate is also a plant, which is the fruit of Jannah. Wateen, wazaytoon, everything is mentioned in the Quran. Rumman, in the Quran, pomegranate rumman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that. And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was informed of this. Khair, this was during the last days of the life of Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. As we come towards the last stage of his life, this ayat-e kareema in Surah Saba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us how Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam passed away. The mission that was given to him was to complete the construction of Masjid-e Aqsa, which was initially started by the father, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu was salam. Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam died at a very young age. He was under 60 years of age. Some say he was 58 years of age. So khair, he died at a very young age. And how did he pass away? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتَ مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَى مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ. Understand, my respected brothers, that the ikram, the honor and respect that is given to Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam is that when death is near, Malakul Maut would come and make salam to them and greet them. The same sunnah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was also greeted by Malakul Maut. During the last years of his life, Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was doing atikaf all the time. He left his palace and there was this small room that was made for him adjacent to the temple, adjacent to the masjid. And he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that small room, and he would be in that room for a long period of time, and the jinns were there looking at him, and he would also look at the jinns working, because the construction work was given to the jinns to complete Masjid-e Aqsa, because the jinns are stronger and they would do the work very fast. And so all the jinns were the khuddams of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And there he was, he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they could see him all the time. And of course they feared him. They feared him. So when Malakul Maut came to Sulaiman alayhi salam and said to Sulaiman alayhi salam that your time is now near, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam said to Malakul Maut, khair, death is death. But I want you to make sure that when you take my ruh from the body, you take my ruh out in this manner. The asa of Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was with him, and in that room Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam would stand up. He stood up in a manner that he was praying, and the jinns were used to this, because they would see him for many weeks praying, and that this is how Sulaiman alayhi salam was, and they were scared of him. And so Malakul Maut had agreed, this was how death would come. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Hazrat would stand and the asa was there with respect. The ruh of Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was taken out from the body in that manner, but Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was still standing. Why? So that the jinns would see that Sulaiman alayhi salam is still alive, and that we have to complete the work that is given to us. We have to finish and complete the work that is given to us. Now there is some riwayat that when they saw that there was no movement, and Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam for weeks has been standing and praying, there was one jinn that decided that let me go and snoop around. So when he went around to see it, he said that he was completely burnt. And that is why the devils, the jinns were scared of Sulaiman alayhi salam. What to do? This was the ru'b, the fear that they had of Sulaiman alayhi salatu was. And they continued working. Allahu Akbar, but only when Allah wanted. when the masjid was completed, alhamdulillah, the building was standing, Masjid Aqsa is in front of the people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to dismiss this false belief that was prevalent amongst the people at that time. If you remember that during the life of Sulaiman alayhi salam, magic was ripe. Magic was at its highest peak. And the aqidah was that the jinns have the knowledge of the unseen. What was the aqidah? That the jinns have the knowledge of the unseen. Ilmul ghayb. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, by the death of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the masjid was also completed, and one important ruling was also explained to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا قَدَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ, and when we had decreed for death to come to Sulaiman alayhi salam, مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَوْتِهِ, no one had any kind of indication of his death. Nobody knew that he was standing in such a way, just like the people of Ashab-e-Kahf. So مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَوْتِ, nobody had any kind of indication that he has passed away. Only when إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ, an earthworm started eating from the bottom the stick, the asa of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the staff, وَلَكْرِي the asa. And until it was eaten, then the Quran says, تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأْتَ فَلَمَّا خَرَّ, then the body of Sulaiman alayhi salam came down, he fell. But remember, he fell in such a way that the malaika were there. Who were they? There is great honor and ikram that is given to a Nabi. فَلَمَّا خَرَّ, but when he came down, خَرَّ means when he came down, تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنُّ, only then it became clear to the jinns. And they started saying, oh ho, look at Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, he passed away a long time ago. أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبَ, only if we had the knowledge of the unseen, only if we had the knowledge of the unseen, مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينَ, we would not have the need to have endured such humiliating punishment. And so from this ayat-e kareema, Allah has made it very clear that even the jinns don't have the knowledge of the unseen. Who has the knowledge of the unseen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge of the unseen that is given to the prophets is through revelation, wahi, as mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. InshaAllah ta'ala, we complete the life of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. InshaAllah, our next session next week will be after Isha Salah. After Isha Salah. And we'll come with a new topic perhaps that will benefit everybody. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.